Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Keep it locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Here's Dan and Mike.
Welcome in on this overcast Monday morning. Things will be better. We're going to clear these skies out, get a beautiful fall day. And we have the birthday boy, Dan Issel, holed up in West Virginia, stopped his trip to talk to us, and we appreciate it. Must have lost him.
No, I heard him talking a minute ago. Let me call him on the phone.
No,
there you are.
I'm here. I'm having a hard time hearing Mike.
Yeah, well, after a while, things get a little shaky. You're on your phone, correct?
Yeah. I didn't have any of my equipment along the way, so I have to do it on the phone. I'm sorry about that.
We were talking about Pittsburgh and the ACC football, and, you know, of course, Kentucky didn't play last weekend. And I think a couple interesting things for U of L fans is that they're on the same side of the ledger with Wake Forest, Dan. And U of L has three of their last five games at home, to include Clemson and at NC State. Wake Forest has three of their last five on the road, to include NC State and Clemson, I believe. You know, so they're, you know, you just don't know right now that side. I mean, Wake could go in the tank, although Wake is my team, Dan Issel. You know that.
No, and I was making fun of you for having them ranked so high last week, and they are actually up to number 12, I believe, in both polls, or 13. Right behind Kentucky in both polls. So you might be smarter than I think you are.
Thank you for the gold medal you just gave me. Here's an interest. 70 points by Wake, which was really impressive. I went back and forth on that game, too. Army, you know, Army's a team that came into the game. A lot of people thought it could be an upset. They could control the line of scrimmage and run the triple option and all those kind of things. But Wake just took it to them. They scored a touchdown every 1 minute and 44 seconds. How about that, huh? Wow. And this kid at quarterback, I mean, is he being mentioned at all, Hartman process for Heisman?
Let me look it up. I got to pull up the odds
here. Hell
of
a year. He is really.
Yeah, here he is. He's about, I want to say, like 10 down. He's a plus 5,000, but he's at least in the conversation.
Good, because he's having a heck of a year, and his team's 7-0. And I like to see, Dan, guys rewarded for leading a winning team. I think that's really important.
Absolutely. And if they continue to win and beat some of those teams that you just mentioned, I'm sure he'll move up on that list. But I don't know. I don't have as much faith in Wake Forest. I don't know why. I mean, they're undefeated, but I don't have as much faith in them as you do. And wouldn't it be hysterical if all of the hand-wringing that went on at U of L and they wind up winning their division of the ACC? That'd be pretty funny.
Boy, that'd make a lot of people eat crow around here, right? and Satterfield is grinning from ear to ear if that would happen. And, you know, he would like to say to some of those people, I'm sure, forget about it, right? Forget about it. And I think U of L's got a good shot to finish strong here, except for that last game against Kentucky. You know, that's the one that, of course, that doesn't count in the ACC standings, but it counts to most of us around here.
And, well, Wake Forest, I just looked it up. Wake Forest has a bye this week. They play Duke. So
right.
So they're looking pretty good to be 8-0, that's for sure.
And you hope they don't look around the corner to the next two games, because I believe they're either State Clemson or Clemson State. So don't look around the corner and be looking at that and let Duke upset you, which has happened to quite a few teams here. How many top 25 teams have gone by the wayside against non-ranked teams this year? I mean,
the one that's unbelievable is Clemson. How a team, I think they were ranked in the preseason polls, they were number 3 in the nation, and they might be 3 from the bottom as far as offensive statistics. And I don't know about you, but I haven't seen ukulele in the Dr. Pepper commercial for a while.
I hope he cashed the check. I don't think he's going to get another one unless he had a long-term deal. But go back to Pittsburgh. This is interesting stat. And Pittsburgh lost to Western Michigan in September. And Western Michigan is not setting the MAC on fire. They've lost to Ball State and Toledo already in their regular season. But Pitt had 3 turnovers. Their possession of time was 20 minutes. Time of possession, 20 minutes. But Pitt also surrendered. This is the key number. You got to wonder, Pitt's 6-1. You got to wonder what in the world. They gave up 517 yards to Western Michigan that day. And never led after going up 7-0. So, you know, they got caught in that trick box of looking ahead on their schedule also. And do they have another game like that that they could throw in and maybe lose the championship game? I think they're pretty much headed to that championship game in the ACC. I don't know if they play. I don't think they – Clemson was, I think, the last major hurdle, you would think. So they got over that. I guess we lost Mr. Issel, the birthday.
Yeah, let me see if I can get him back on the line. He must have hit a dead spot. There are a lot of those in West Virginia.
Oh, there's more than not. we were talking a little.
He's back.
All right, we were talking a little ACC, and the birthday boy's back.
Yep.
Good. What are you still in that rest stop in West Virginia?
Yeah, I haven't moved. I don't know what happened there, but no, I haven't moved. So.
Are you having a coffee?
I had one. I was afraid that to have a second one, because I didn't want to have to drop off the phone to go to the little boy's room.
So. Fair.
Well, what is, you know, we talk about the name, image, and likeness, but, you know, what is going on in Oklahoma? As you said earlier, I think they're not blowing everybody out. They're winning. And they had a quarterback controversy of somewhat. Rattler, it looks like he's accepted the fact that he lost the job. And the kid, Caleb Williams, boy, has that rascal got some feet. I watched a little bit of the game the other Saturday, and wow, he's a scrambler. You let him get outside of the box and let him scramble. He's like Lamar and Cunningham and some of these quarterbacks now. They got wonderful feet.
Now, I'm looking at Oklahoma's schedule, and like I said earlier, they played some teams awfully close. I mean, Nebraska was just a 7-point game. West Virginia really had them beat in that game, and of course they came from way behind to beat Texas. And then Kansas had the lead at halftime. Their 4 games left are Texas Tech at home, at Baylor, Iowa State at home, and then they're at Oklahoma State. So, you know, if they run the table, and Cincinnati runs the table, it'll be really interesting to see. Well, maybe both of them could go, but I don't know. It the way they've been playing and the way they've been playing such close games. I mean, they might win lose a game or two the rest of the year. that's a team I'm keeping my eye on. I think if they lose one game, I think that keeps them out of the championship as weak as the Big 12 is.
And I think you went through what they have left on their schedule. I can see a couple losses. They're playing at Baylor is not going to be a piece of cake. And also, they're going to finish the year. They are at Okie State, didn't you say?
Yeah. They're at Oklahoma State and at Baylor, and they have Tennessee Tech at home this week, and they also have Iowa State at home. And that Iowa State game's no pushover. I mean, Iowa State played pretty well at home the other night.
Yeah, they did, and they were a highly touted team coming into the year. So that's another hurdle for Oklahoma. And if Oklahoma doesn't win out and win that championship, I don't see the Big 12 getting a team in the playoffs. Do you?
No, because they're just they don't seem to be that strong, and they seem to be in disarray with Texas and Oklahoma. I would think that an undefeated Cincinnati team would definitely have to go in front of a one-loss Big 12 team.
You talk about Oklahoma and the situation with Rattler, and he got some money for signing autographs, and now he loses his job. You always wonder, because you've been in locker rooms and I've been in locker rooms as a player and a coach, you always wonder how those things affect your locker room. And you could throw the Clemson situation in also. You just got to wonder, is Clemson talent really down that much, or have they had some internal issues with the name, image, and likeness?
Yeah. I don't know. You have always thought that was going to be a bigger factor than I have, simply because you've been in locker rooms, Mike, and you can look around the locker room and know who you're better than and who's better than you if you're realistic about it. And as we just said, all of the top candidates for the Heisman are quarterbacks. So it makes sense that the quarterback is going to be the person that gets the most deals. I just heard that Cunningham is signing autographs at Planet Fitness tonight. So, he's the one on the U of L team that's gotten the most traction as far as name, image, and likeness. But that could be a factor in some of these locker rooms, but there's something else just besides that's going on.
Well, you made a point, and I think that it's all about the success of all of this goes with the maturity of the team. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because the jealousy and what you do, I Levis is taking his line out to eat at Malone's every week, and that was part of his name, image, and likeness deal, that he could go to eat at Malone's, and he's taking his lineman with him every week, Dan. That helps bring that locker room together.
Absolutely, it does, and quarterbacks are smart to take care of their offensive linemen, because those five men probably have more to do with your success than anybody else on the field.
Well, do you have any football teams you want to talk about that you think are on the rise in all this?
Well, and I don't know if you're saving this for the second half hour of the second hour, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the pro football.
Yeah.
And what's going on there.
Absolutely, and I know where you're going. Talk about your Bengals.
Now, that is a game that I also listened to on the radio, and I had the Ravens feed, and a couple of things that came across on their our broadcast was, number one, it sounded to me like Lamar might have been getting a little frustrated, feeling like he had to do everything, at least on the offensive end. that he had to do everything by himself. You know, he's a great player. He didn't play great yesterday. I don't even think he was 50% as far as completion percentage. I think he was 15 for 31. But he sure, and I know they've had a lot of injuries, but he sure doesn't have much help on the offensive side. And then the other thing that came across on the broadcast was that the announcers kind of thought the Ravens mailed it in at the end. You know, the last two touchdowns that the Bengals scored were on long running plays. And of course, you know, I'm just listening. I can't see anything. But they seem to think that that the Bengals scored on those running plays way too easily. But, you know, we talk about the Heisman. I think Joe Burrow's and Kenny Anderson told us before the season ever started that Burrow's was the real deal. But I think he's put himself into the MVP discussion, and I think the Bengals are for real.
Well, I would have to go along with you because what I've seen, what my eyes tell me, they're different, totally different ball team, and they've built it right. And, of course, how about the wide receiver, Chase? How about him?
He's going to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, you know what? He probably could.
He's going to.
Okay.
He's so good.
He is.
And you know what? I've said some dumb things since we started this show, Mike, but probably the dumbest thing I said was they should have taken an offensive lineman because this kid is special. He is special. And the Bengals got it right drafting him. He had another 200-yard game yesterday, and kind of a slow. It was almost like a heavyweight fight. It sounded like to me the Ravens and the Bengals kind of feeling out each other out in the first half, and he didn't get a lot done. But man, they came out the second half, and about every other pass they threw to him. And about every other pass was for 20, 25 yards. And, of course, he had the 80-some-yard touchdown pass from Burroughs. I agree with process. This kid's going to be Rookie of the Year, and barring injury, he's going to be really special for a long time.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that. And how about Burrow and what he's doing coming off that injury? I mean, they thought, well, maybe he might be ready by November. That kid's having a heck of a year.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's just – I mean, he's not cocky, but he just seems to – I mean, he plays way beyond his years. You know, he was – last year, he was running for his life, and I think they were maybe 2-6 or something like that when he got hurt. And, of course, after he got hurt, the Bengals were awful. But they're doing a better job of protecting him. The defense seems to be playing well. And he just has this air about him when he goes on the football field that, you know, when the game's over, he's going to be on the winning side. So, you know, good for the Bengals. They've been down for a while, a good long while. But it looks like they're certainly on the rise. And right now, with the Ravens and your Pumpkinheads, the number one team in the division is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, that's been a long time since you have seen that, them at the top of that division. And, you know, Ravens have two losses, the Pumpkinheads had three, and I think the Steelers, you can't write the Steelers off because the Bengals have to play them a couple times. The Browns have to play the Bengals. That could be – Browns and Bengals could be a big determining factor in who wins that AFC North.
Battle of Ohio, man. It actually could be worth something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. But when they went in and beat Baltimore, like they beat – I mean, look at the week before. You know, we were all talking about Herbert and what a great quarterback he is. And he certainly is as talented – as any quarterback in the league, but the Chargers went in to Baltimore and got crushed.
Yep.
And then for the Bengals to go into Baltimore and win that game yesterday, you know, that says something to me. I, that the Bengals are a team you're going to have to start paying attention to.
And you say Burrow isn't cocky, but that guy exudes confidence. There's something just so – he's got a swagger about him I can't quite put my finger on. But people follow him. We'll follow him into war, man.
Well, that's probably why he's had a lot of success. He won a national championship at LSU, so –
But process, don't you agree? It's not like an arrogant thing.
No, it's just confidence.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, we're here to play a football game, and when it's over, I'm going to win and you're going to lose.
He seems to be very emotionless during the game and just seems to keep that composure. And that's part of being a leader and part of what he is exuding. So, yeah, he's special. There's no question. Just stay healthy. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, exactly. And unlike Lamar, he's got a lot of weapons. The tight end, I think, caught two touchdown passes yesterday. He's got a couple of other receivers that can play. A pretty good running back in Mixon. All of a sudden the Bengals look like a real football team.
Yeah, they just snuck up on you, didn't they? I mean, you thought they would be better, but you thought, you know, Burrow's hurt. We don't know when he's going to come back. And the Chase guy, everybody was like you, saying, why'd you take him? You should have taken yada, 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 right? So, I mean, there was just a lot of stuff going on about these Bengals. Man, they came out and right from the start have played some terrific football. They're 2-1 at home, and they've got, you know, a lot of chances of only dropping one on the road. One on the road, one at home, two losses. I mean, look, this is going to be a battle for that AFC North. It's going to be a battle.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun to watch. And there were some other interesting things that went on in pro football yesterday that we can talk about. Football season, this is a great time of the year. We haven't even mentioned the World Series and how bad the Dodgers manage that situation. You got basketball, pro basketball starting, college basketball is just about to start. This is a great time of year for sports fans. Oh, and the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah.
A week from Friday. Great time of the year for sports fans.
When we come back, I want to throw this out at you. Give me your thought. Dallas Cowboys, Green Bay Packers, Tampa Bay Bucks, and the Arizona Cardinals all have one loss or no losses in the case of Arizona. Going into this season, all those teams had some serious issues that were dealt with in the public. When we come back, I want to get your thoughts on all those teams, and particularly the Packers. They, everybody was down on them, and here they sit at 6-1. So we'll talk about that when we come back. And vision, everybody has one. The epic cross-country road trip, your dream wedding, that kitchen renovation for churning out next-level entrees, and the folks at Stockton Mortgage can help you achieve your vision. If you're a homeowner, then you may have heard that home values are on the rise in most areas. The advantage of the historically low rates to refinance your home mortgage, to get cash out, and finance your dreams. Give the folks over at Stockton Mortgage a call today or get started by going online at Stockton.com, NMLS 8259, NMLS consumeraccess.org, equal housing lender.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window.
You're locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
How about that one? That's kind of close to your heart since you're in West Virginia, Dan.
The gambler. He broke even.
Before we get into my question for you about the top teams in the NFL, I want to read a quote from text, and I want you to go back and think about what Calipari told you about shooters. This texter said Cleveland in the NBA, they're leading the NBA in assists at 29 per game, but their record is 1-2. So what did Calipari say about having shooters?
Yeah, he said last year we had shooters. This year we have makers.
I love that. I love that. I know one time he was telling me that he had a certain player was supposed to be a shooter, and he says, you know, supposed to be a shooter, but damn, he said, I never see him make any even in practice. I laughed, and I said, well, I guess it's you're taking his confidence. That's what everybody says. Your coach is taking your confidence. But looking at the National Football League, the Cowboys, the Packers, the Bucks, Buccaneers, and the Cardinals all had some form of controversy, most of it negative, but some of it positive, before the season. Which one of those teams is your biggest surprise coming off controversy in the preseason?
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise is the Cowboys. Now, I know they don't play in a very strong division, but, you know, Prescott was coming off of that horrific ankle injury. And for him to come back and have the start to the season that he's had, I would say out of the four, I mean, you knew Brady was going to be good in down in Tampa Bay. And speaking of that, did you see where he threw his 600th touchdown pass, and Mike Evans caught the pass and gave it to somebody in the stands, and they showed him standing on the sitting on the bench, and he said, "That was the pass. That was the pass." So they had to go get the ball back from the lady that he had given it to in the stands because it was Brady's 600th touchdown pass.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool of Brady. He offered to autograph a helmet or a jersey and pass it along to the fan. You know that ball. It's going to be worth a lot of money ultimately, but it's got to have a special place in the heart of Brady. I'm glad he got it back.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to kind of put that in perspective, Matthew Stafford, who has played, has had a pretty long career so far, yesterday threw his 300th. That kind of puts that in, brings clarity to what an unbelievable record that is, that Brady's had 600 touchdown passes.
Said some good, and he gave credit after the game to all the players that he has played with and the terrific receivers that he's had. But for what, where was he drafted? The fifth round or sixth round or something?
Sixth round.
And to have this kind of career, you got to give whoever was doing the scouting, you got to give him a lot of credit. And he probably came in and told the player personnel people and all those meetings you've been in, Dan, they probably said, well, if we get a shot at this kid late in the draft, let's just take a flyer on him. I think he's got some potential. And they did, and look what they got.
Yeah, yeah. No, they'll never be another one like him. He's the GOAT. He's the GOAT for sure. And I think till somebody knocks him off, and I know I heard a quote this morning from Rodgers. He said that he was talking about the Packers, and he said, we're close. He said, we've still got some work to do, but we're close to being a championship contender. You don't know what will happen in Dallas if they can keep it going. But the Arizona Cardinal, I mean, they're for real. That's a good team, both offensively and defensively. So it'll be fun to see who comes out of that, out of the NFC come Super Bowl time, because those are four really good teams right now.
And they all have really good quarterbacks. This young kid, Kyle Murray, man, he is, he is a special player. I've watched him the last couple weekends, just bits and pieces, and wow. I had not paid a lot of attention. I believe he came out of Oklahoma.
Yes, sir.
Right? I remember the controversy when he came out. There was questions about him and this and that. But, boy, whoo. Then you have Dak Prescott. And then you have a quarterback for the Packers. You have Mr. advertising executive. He's on all the infomercials.
He is.
You know, he's all kinds of guys. I love a couple of them are really, really funny. And what is it? Not Allstate. Is it Allstate? No.
Yeah, it's Allstate.
Allstate.
Yeah.
Those are great commercials.
They're good. I like them. I still like Baker's the best, though. Baker Mayfield's got the best commercials.
Okay, which one do you like, Dan?
Yeah, no, I agree with Process. Those Baker Mayfield, those are really, I mean, the whole premise that he and his wife are living in the stadium and he's out watering the flowers and trick-or-treaters are coming. I mean, the whole premise is funny, but those are really good commercials.
I like the one. I love the one where he gives them chips and then pours the cheese on top. I mean, who in the world thought of that one? Man.
That's cute.
Yeah, you got to be really creative to think about that. I mean, that was really cool.
And the best part of it are the expressions. The number one, the expressions on the kids' faces when he's squirting the cheese in their trick-or-treat bag, and then the expression on his wife's face, like, what kind of an idiot are you?
That's a good one. I wonder what they paid him to do that. I mean, it's a whole series. I understand that, but they must have paid him a lot. And their writers are terrific.
Yeah,
just terrific.
No, they're good. They're good.
Well, what about some college? Again, we'll go back to college. Does Pittsburgh have a chance? If they make it to the championship game and win it, they're now 7 or 8-1. They could be 11-1. Do they have a chance at all to be in the conversation for the playoffs?
No, I don't think there's an ACC team that is in the conversation about making the playoffs. I mean, you know there's going to be a Big Ten team there. You know there's going to be at least one Big Ten team there. You know there's going to be at least one SEC team. Now, I said earlier, I don't think if number one, I don't think Alabama comes close. Alabama's defense just isn't Alabama-like this year. So I don't see how they have a chance of beating Georgia in the SEC, and I don't think a two-loss Alabama team goes. But, you know, you got Cincinnati, you got Oklahoma. I guess Oregon would still be in the conversation if they run the table. But I don't see any ACC team being in the championship discussion.
Well, let me ask you this then. If Wake Forest ends up going undefeated, do you think not even then they get a chance to go in?
Well, it depends. It depends on what else happens. If Cincinnati were to get beat, if Oklahoma were to get beat, if everybody in the Big Ten except the champion has two losses, if everybody in the SEC except Georgia has two losses, then I guess they would be in the conversation. But there's a lot of things. To me, there's a lot of things that have to happen for even an undefeated Wake Forest team to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that Cincinnati, they got a lot of pressure on them. Everybody's looking at them, and they have to dominate almost in people's eyes, in the voters' eyes, in the selection committee. They almost have to dominate their opponents, and that's a lot to ask. But a win over SMU in the regular season, and then they will face them probably again in the conference championship. If you could package an undefeated season with two W's over the best team in your league, you got to go to the playoffs.
Well, and I keep going back to that Notre Dame game, Mike, and you know, rightfully or wrongfully, you know how Notre Dame, I mean, they've made the playoffs a couple of years recently that they probably shouldn't have made it, but they're Notre Dame, and you know how these people being the selection committee, view Notre Dame. And if the only loss Notre Dame has at home against Cincinnati and Cincinnati goes undefeated, you can't tell me you can keep Cincinnati out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. We've been Cincinnati fans here all along. We've talked about them quite often. Process doesn't like them, but we do.
What do you mean? I like Cincinnati.
No, you don't.
Oh, yes, I do.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Been very quiet on that subject, Process.
No, what are you?
Very quiet.
You breaking my stones here?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
hey, Process, where was Ritter? Do you remember? You don't have to look it up
he was
again.
Seventh.
Where was Ritter on that Heisman Trophy?
Yeah, he was seventh, right behind Kenneth Walker.
Okay. All right.
And was Ford, the running back, even mentioned?
He was on there, but he was down a ways.
Boy, I tell you what, there's some good running backs that will be taken in what they like to take running backs in second at the best, maybe for the most part, third, fourth, fifth. And there's some guys that I think are going to be able to play next year as running backs in college, but they'll be able to play in the NFL.
And Mike, you know why? I just heard this. I turned up. I was listening to, Keon Johnson, Jay Will, and Max on ESPN, the national ESPN. I just turned it off when I called you guys. And they were talking about you look around the league at the running backs that are hurt, and that, you know, whose production has trailed way off. And it's just a tough position to play. I mean, you run the ball 20, 25 times a game. I mean, you're getting killed out there. And so that's why these teams don't want to waste a higher draft pick, because their life in the NFL is so short.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that has changed over the last 3 or 4 years because of the reasons you said, Dan, the injury factor. They run these guys to death, and everybody's bigger, stronger, faster. And they,
you know,
the running backs, they're all about the same size, the good ones, 5'9", 5'10", 5'11".
Except, you know, Derrick Henry, who's 6'4".
Oh, he's a horse.
No, he's question. A monster.
And can pass the ball.
Yeah.
Speaking of passing the ball, this weekend Matthew Stafford played against his former Lions. And, of course, Process, the quarterback for the Lions,
Jared Goff, yep.
They had changed places. You know what I didn't understand, and I was reading about it and watched part of it, I didn't realize Matthew Stafford's 32 years old.
Yeah, no, he was drafted, I want to say, in 2009. He's been in the league quite a while at this point.
Yeah, and I thought he was a young pup, and not that 32 isn't young, but it's not young for a quarterback necessarily, unless you're Brady. But he's been in there 32 years, and he's starting to really, you know, put that team on his back, the Rams, and, you know, he was very impressive.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier when I said putting Brady's record in perspective. You know, Stafford's been at it a long time and has exactly half as many touchdown passes, 600 to 300. But the poor coach at Detroit, Campbell, is that his name? Process?
Yes, sir.
Campbell. He, yep. I mean, I mean, he's got to be. They were marching on a chance to take the lead late in that game, and Goff throws a pick on the goal line. They were getting ready to take the lead against the Rams late in the game, and the guy has lost a game on a, what, 66-yard field goal? I mean, he's got to be going nuts up there in Detroit.
Here's why I don't feel bad for him, because you know you're getting a cursed entity when you decide to coach the Lions, okay? Bobby Lane did it back in 1957. He said, you're never going to win another Super Bowl or another championship again. Never have. Never come close.
Well, here's an interesting thought. Do you know that the Lions were 16.5-point dog? When is the last time you two guys have ever seen a number that big?
The Texans, because they were a 20-point dog.
Oh, were they? I didn't know that. Really?
This weekend, yeah.
Two dogs that are 16.5 and 20. And, you know, the Lions, have you ever seen a worse covered onside kick than the Lions did against the Rams? I mean, they recovered. The Lions recovered. That was terrible.
No, that's what I said. That's what I said. Campbell's got to be going nuts. He's trying all this stuff, and it all works. They do an onside kick and get it back. They run two fake punts, and both of them work. They pick up first downs. I mean, he's trying his heart out to win a football game, and then Goff throws an interception right at the end.
Well, that is the Cleveland Lions, Detroit Lions. And what do you think the odds of them going winless?
It's possible. I mean, it's anything is possible. But, you know, I think they're not quite as bad as the Browns were a few years ago or even the Lions were 15 years ago. Let me pull up their schedule here. But I think they seem like one of those teams that can stick out a win somewhere. I mean, they play the Bears, they play the Broncos, they play the Falcons, like, and they play the Eagles, who were terrible anyway. So they got some opportunities here to win some games.
They don't have Jacksonville?
No, they do not.
Oh, I would have said that's a real opportunity.
Yeah. No, they've come close. They've come close enough a lot of times. I think they'll eke it out at some point. And if not, then they'll have the first overall pick. So for whatever's that worth, and they'll get Thibodeau.
Yeah, well, that's the smart pick. There's not a quarterback you'd put up there or a running back.
Mackerel's the number one guy, and he's not going until, like, I've seen a lot of sevens and eights on him.
I want to talk about that old Miss game and Mackerel, your boy Mackerel. But, Dan, your Bengals are at New York on the 31st. Then they come back, and the first of two battles for Ohio. They host the Browns on Sunday, November 7th. I'm looking forward to that.
I'll take the Bengals.
Why would I guess that? That's a shocker. But your boy Mackerel, pretty daggone good, isn't he?
Yes, sir.
He ran the ball Saturday. You didn't have a chance to see it, but you may listen to it. But he ran the ball so well Saturday. He tucked it, ran, found the holes. He's got good speed. Ole Miss is a team that might sneak into a big bowl, and he'll get a platform to play on and make himself some money.
Well, and he was questionable, wasn't he, Process?
Yeah,
yep. He was.
Now, and poor Coach O, that thing's going south on him in a hurry.
Well, I really expected that. I didn't know if you would. Some people say that the team would make a stand. But what happens, I think, in situations like that, the periphery, the family, friends, and fools get involved with these kids. And, of course, there's every rumor in the world on who's going to coach the team. And they go, well, you know, they may take Dan Issel, and he's not a throwing coach. He's a running coach. Or they're going to take Process. You know what I mean? Right down the line, nobody knows, and no one's going to be happy on that team player-wise until they find out who in the heck's going to coach them.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So you can stick a fork in them as far as you're concerned.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if they made a nice stand against Florida, and I don't think they had announced it yet, but I think everybody knew that that Coach O was history. They made a nice stand there, but no, that's probably the last time they'll win. I don't know who else they play. They might have a gimme on the schedule, but that might be the last win Coach O gets.
So here is something we need to consider, and I think all of college football is, got a coaching change. You got some good players. I don't know how good they are, okay, but they're highly touted coming in at LSU.
Yeah.
What happens? Do a large portion of them rush to the portal? I mean, you could have some pretty good players in that portal if they're unhappy with the coaching decision.
Yeah, well, I think you answered your own question when you said it depends on who they get, and you know it's going to be a big hire. It has to be a big hire. And so it's going to be somebody with a name, and I think he comes in and tells everybody what he's doing and how happy he is that they're there and re-recruits all those guys. If it's a big name like I expect it to be, they shouldn't lose too many. But, you know, given where they are and what their record is, maybe you're not sorry to see a bunch of them leave. I don't know.
Now, we did see an example of this happen, you know, this past basketball offseason at IU. I mean, the entire team went into the portal, and Mike Woodson did bring all of them back. So I imagine exactly that is going to happen.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a great correlation.
So you got to recruit the players you inherited, and then you've got to recruit the players you want to bring in new. So the next coach has got his hands full, and I'm going to throw out a couple names. I really think it's going to be one of these two guys. What the guy at Michigan State, I can't think his name, but he's done a nice job. He got a lot of publicity, Big Ten team, you know, that he's coaching, playing very well. He would be an attractive hire, but the guy I think is going to get the job is James Franklin at Penn State.
Do you really?
Yep. I think that, you know, Penn State doesn't like to lose like they have this year. He's had some good years, okay? But the problem is he hasn't had Joe Paterno years, okay? And who could? But I think he says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I know the SEC very well from my time at Vanderbilt. And consequently, I'm going to take a flyer at LSU. I'm going to have a generational money offered to me to coach. And you know what? Nick Saban's got to retire sometime, and if I can position myself to be the second best team in the West, might not be a bad job.
Dan dropped off. It's all right. We'll just wrap
up. What do you think of that?
I mean, look, I've said it before. I think being the third most prestigious team in the Big Ten is better than being like the fifth or sixth most prestigious team in the SEC. So I would say stay at Penn State. At the same time, you have to somewhat build your – you can't build your own legacy at Penn State. It's like Florida State. It's already built. You're never going to be as beloved as Joe Paterno was at his height.
Exactly. And but you said the third best right now. Is he the third best? Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State. He's the fourth best.
He's the fourth best in terms of the team success, but in terms of prestige on the job in the Big Ten,
okay,
it's still Penn State.
Okay. But, 30. You know, I kind of – he's my pick to go to LSU. I'll just leave it at that.
I see it happening. It's definitely possible. All right, wrap it up.
All right, well, we've talked about everything under the sun that's going on in the world sports, except the World Series. And tomorrow we're going to come back and we'll talk a little bit of World Series. Valdez against Morton. Good matchup on the mound. And this has been Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt. We will see you tomorrow.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.